this morning for one another in this body, and a real verbal exercise of praise to God. And you'll understand as I just share some verses with you. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have put us into a body, Father, of people, Lord God, that are family. We love one another. Father, this is the time, Lord Jesus, when we're to give thanks for all that you've given us. But Lord, thank you for you this morning. Thank you for this body, Father God. Thank you for the communion that we get to partake in. Father, I just pray through this day, Lord, this different service that we do, that you'd speak to our hearts and our minds this morning about our love for you and our love for one another. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And also, it's also a time, too, as we're going to go ahead and do communion. If you have a problem with a brother or sister, before you give thanks or as you give thanks this morning, you want to go to that person and make things right. Whatever the case may be, because we do want to examine ourselves. I wanted to do something different with communion than to just have you just take a cup and bread. We're going to put some action to this morning. So we'll be coming back and forth to 1 Corinthians 11, which is the text in communion. But let's just talk about communion for a minute. When we worship the Lord, it's to be performed so as to please him. Our worship of God is to please him. Amen. It's not just to be a routine thing. It's to please him. It's to love him. It's to honor him. Let's just start with Psalm 96. Psalm 96 this morning. I have no idea where this is going to go this morning. But that's kind of exciting. Psalm 96. And verse 9, O, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. You can see here as we look at this text what worship involves. A fear of God, a reverence for him, a respect of him. Here the word says, tremble before him all the earth. We're to come to God with a sense of awe and pleasure and oh, he's just a great God this morning. I want you to understand that as you woke up to come here to worship him. He's awesome. He's worthy of praise. Look at John 4. Go back to the New Testament in John chapter 4. And verse 24 when you get there, John 4. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Who's read that verse before? You ever wonder about that verse? When we worship the Lord, it's worshiping him with the proper heart and attitude. That's what that verse tells us. Worshiping in what? Spirit and truth. Worshiping not the Holy Spirit, that's not the word used there. It's talking about our spirit, about our heart, our attitude. We worship him in spirit and in truth, in a way that's consistent with the Word of God. That's how we worship him. Worshiping the Lord is not sitting around waiting for something to happen to us. It's worship is participating in something. We're to be active and involved. It has action to it. It's birthed out of desire, out of hunger, out of love. Oh, I can't wait to come and tell God I love him. And that should be our heart every time we get up in the morning. Amen? I love my God. Now, we're celebrating the Lord's Supper this morning, so I think it's a good time to talk about this. Is the Lord's Supper is a very important action in the way we worship God. It's a commandment to do, but it's if you went through the New Testament, you'd see it's given different titles, if you would, or it's designated as different. Like, let me show you Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2. And verse 42 of that chapter says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." So here, the Lord's Supper is referred to as the breaking of bread. And so we go to Acts, we're still in Acts, so go to Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Acts 20, verse 7. "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." You think I'm long. But notice here, it's referred to as to break bread, or the breaking of bread. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 16. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" So there's where we get that word communion. That's what we call the Lord's Supper. It's also called communion, which in the Greek really means fellowship. The word communion. So when we come and have communion, we're coming to have fellowship. So, together with the Lord. Look at verse 21 in the same chapter. "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he?" Hear that the Lord's Supper is referred to as the Lord's table. Whose table is it? It's his. So when we approach the Lord's table, it ought to be in reverence. It ought to be in worship. It ought to be in gratefulness, in thankfulness when we approach the table. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Told you we'd kind of bounce in and out of that. Verse 20. 1 Corinthians 11, 20. "Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper." He's rebuking him in that passage. I want you to see something, though. When he's talking to the you here, who's he talking to? The family of God. The Lord's Supper belongs to the assembly of believers only. Did you know that? It's not for everybody to partake of. It's for saved people to partake of. And is eaten together. It's always done together with the saints. That doesn't mean you can't, of course, do it on your own if you're by yourself in your house. Can you take communion in your house? Sure you can. You don't have to go to church to take communion. Can you take communion when you have your family around the table for Thanksgiving? Can you do that? Absolutely, you can do that. It's fellowships with other saints. It doesn't have to be at Rathdrum Bible Church. And it doesn't have to be that Pastor Dan or elders facilitate it. That's tradition. It can be done by you as a believer, a man in your home, leading your family to do it. There's nothing that says in the scriptures that you can't celebrate communion where in any house you go into. They were going from house to house celebrating. So I just want to encourage you that. But it is to be eaten together with the saints. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we each preach a very, very powerful sermon to all those who see and hear us. If we go back to 1 Corinthians 11 and we read through this, which I'm trying not to do because we're in this text all the time for when we celebrate communion. But you can read that text from verse 23 to 34 later on. But in it, we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So that's a powerful sermon that you and I are preaching to people that watch us and see us, and they are brethren. We're preaching the Lord's death till he comes, and we, in doing that, we're proclaiming vital facts about the gospel. Of course, the gospel message, which you all know, is the few chapters away in 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which you also received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now, when Paul's writing this, he's telling us he received that from somebody. Who do you think taught him that? The Lord Jesus Christ. That the Lord died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that, notice that, he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some had fallen asleep. So when Paul wrote that, there was a lot of them still alive. And in Old Testament law, it's required for everything to have two witnesses. And Jesus gives us way more than that. And so we proclaim the gospel when we take communion. We proclaim that while we are yet sinners, Christ has what? What does Romans 5:8 tell us? That Christ died for us. So every time I come up and take or eat bread or drink of the cup, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ died for me. That's why I take it. It's a testimony of what he has done. And we proclaim that Jesus is not dead, but that he's alive. Every time I eat the bread, drink the cup, I'm telling you that yes, he did die for my sins, but he is risen and he is alive. And we proclaim that he is coming again. Look at John 14. John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How many believe that this morning? That's part of that celebration. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe he's coming to get me. And I'm telling you that when I participate in this. Now, the whole thing of doing this in remembrance of the Lord, because that's what Jesus said to do. Do this in remembrance of me. Back in the book, excuse me, back in the book of Luke, in chapter 22, verse 19, Jesus said this. He said, and he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, there's a couple words in there and you'll see, the word remembrance, when we're doing things in remembrance of him, it involves thanksgiving. He gave thanks. And so we have a challenge this morning to remember as we take the Lord's Supper, to do things in remembrance of him. Now, let me just open this up a little bit. What do you remember about him this morning? Now, see, we're supposed to do this, but what is it we're supposed to remember? Anybody? That he forgave our sins. Very good. What else? He's prepared a place for us. What else? He's coming back. What else? Without him, we have no hope. What else? All things are in his hands. See how long we can go with this? There's no end to this. Well, let me give you some things. Look, go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. At least maybe by this might challenge us as we take communion to get out of the rut we sometimes get into. Oh, it's communion day. What does that mean? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. What about that thought? When we take communion, we're remembering what? He has a name greater than mine. He is one who's greater than me. He has all authority, which we've talked about the last 3 weeks. I'm to remember his name and how powerful that is. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's go to verse 14, Ephesians 3, 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know what? The love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. How many remember this morning how much he loves you? Think about that. The depth, what does it say? You may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ. How much does he love us? Well, you can go read Romans 8. It tells you how much that Jesus loves you. And so we remember his name, remember his love, the things that you folks mentioned. We remember that he's been exalted, that he was raised from the grave. Paul told that to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. And Paul says this, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. He was raised from the dead. He was exalted before the Father. He reigns as King. He reigns as Lord. And as a result of him ruling and reigning, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 tells me this and tells you this. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all and all. So when you and I eat bread in the memory of his body, which was given for us, and we drink the cup, the fruit of the vine, in memory of his blood that was shed for us, then what does that cause us to do? Causes us to give thanks. Causes us to give thanks. Now there's a relationship between being thankful and remembering. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 6. Psalm chapter 6. When I remember what Christ has done for me, I become very thankful. Psalm 6. Verse 5, for in death, David writes this, for in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? So when I begin to know what Jesus Christ, or remember what Christ has done for me on this side of the grave, what should I be doing? Thanking him. Oh, I better have a grateful heart. I better thank him not just for his shed blood and his giving of his body, but I'm here this morning to give thanks for everything God has done in my life. I'm thankful for the place he's put me to worship him. I'm thankful for this body. I'm thankful for you individually. I'm thankful because God put me into this family at Rathrum Bible Church. And I'm thankful that I have an opportunity to love you like Jesus loves me. And it's not about me coming to church and getting my quota in the Bible or have some pastor preach at me. It's so I can feed the people. I come to this church so I can show how much Jesus loves you. And when we stand up and say, well, I went to church and I leave and go home and I haven't spent time with the brethren, even the ones that rub me raw or I don't agree with, you know what I'm talking about because you have them. There's people in this body that won't talk to each other because they're holding a grudge against them. That is true. That is sin. And how can we take communion when we grumble about a brother? That shouldn't happen. That should not happen. Give thanks. Now listen to this. Let's go to Psalm 30, verse 4. Psalm 30, verse 4. Oh. Psalm 30. Verse 4. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his. How many are singing praises this morning? Or not just to him, but your heart is full of song this morning. It's 9 o'clock, Sunday morning, November of 2014. How many are singing with joy in their heart because God has redeemed you? Oh my goodness, let's keep looking at the verse. Psalm 30 in verse 4 there, it says, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his. Who should be singing praises? Yeah, the saints. And give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Oh boy, what a holy name he has. And when we come up, we give thanks for that holy name. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 18. In everything, give what? Thanks. Is that hard to do? Sometimes we don't want to give thanks. But that's not an option for a saint. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. For who? Yeah, put the instead of you there that Paul's writing to the Thessalonians say, for me, the will of God for me is that I give thanks in everything. In everything. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for what? For now, notice the verse. Let's read it carefully. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplication, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made what? For. Not around or not to, but for all men. You see that? For all men. What should you and I be doing? There isn't anybody in this body that should not be thankful for one another. Because God put you here. Wow. Thanksgiving for all men. Now you can see why I wanted to do communion this way. I want you to come to the table and I want you to give thanks for one another. Not just to God, but for one another. This morning. I'm excited. Can you tell? I'm excited because God's doing a great thing and the enemy hates it. We are at warfare with the enemy and he hates it. We as a body, God's using to reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he hates it. He hates it. He's got some people disgruntled about a building. He's got some people disgruntled about a program. He's got people this, people that. You know what I'm talking about. I can't wait till that's done. Not because we have a landmark, because we will reach people in a greater capacity. And I hope you catch that vision. I hope this place, this sanctuary, is filled with tables and chairs, and that kitchen someday is changed to where we're feeding hundreds of people in this community. And we're worshiping with 350 people strong in a service that is packed. Catch the vision or miss the ride. Because I'm telling you, God wants to do great things. He doesn't want us to grumble. He wants us to be thankful. My goodness, we're running out of time. Oh, I didn't even think I was going to say that. 1 Corinthians 11:24, and then I'm going to invite you up to thank God and verbally, not silently. Now, that's not doesn't mean you're saying it to, out so they can hear you in the back, but the people around the table, I want them to hear that you're thankful for them. 1 Corinthians, what did I say, 11? Oh, Father. Verse 24. When he had given thanks, he broke and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembrance and thanksgiving go hand in hand. You want to remember what God's done for you? Thank God for who he's put in you in your life. In this body, not just in your home, in this body. Father, I pray that you would help us to be a little bit more thankful today. Lord, I pray that you'd help this body of believers grow in our love for one another. Lord, I pray that as we come up and take the cup and take the cup and eat the bread, Father, I pray that we would remember your great love towards us, your forgiveness, your sanctification, your justification, all those things that we come and remember what you have done. But part of remembrance is, Lord, I thank you for putting me into a body who loves the word, who loves you, and Lord, who wants to reach those around them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I don't know what else to say, Lord. Just thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's no order to this, so somebody can just come up and start. And we got two tables. I'll stay up here to help, and George will be here too. But you can take communion with your family, your friends. But I want you to verbally go around the table, and I want you. No, here's the thing. Listen to me. There's not one spokesman at the table. Everybody needs to talk. All right. Just everybody. Well, you know what? Just fill it up. Jump in there, you guys. Just jump in. Make two groups here. It looks like we're going to get... Just jump in, Kirk. Just jump in.
Where this nice lady, I hear, is a good friend.